You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It's Wednesday, December 19th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Today, it's Crossover Wednesday as we prepare for the Jets' Week 16 game against the Green Bay Packers. Peter Bukowski and I have a chat. Peter is the host of Locked On Packers. Let's jump into my chat with Peter about Week 16 between the Jets and the Green Bay Packers.
John, this was a game we thought coming into the year was going to be a little bit more of a mismatch than it turned out to be, or at least I did. But the Packers come to New York in almost as much disarray as the Jets find themselves in. And I'm not sure anyone predicted that coming into this week. It seems impossible to me that the Jets have their head coach that they started the season with and the Packers don't. But that's where we are. For the Jets, how did we get to this point in the season with them?
Problem is you have a bad roster meets a poor coaching staff, meets a rookie quarterback's inconsistency. You know, this team started
strategy,
off
Cotton.
Right. Yeah. This team started off on a very high note. They crushed the Lions on the opening Monday night game. Then they hit a losing streak. They lost three in a row. So they fall to 1-3 and you think that the season's going off the rails. Then they come home and they win two games in a row. So they get back to 3-3. So you're thinking, okay, well, maybe the season's okay. And then long losing streak follows where the season just kind of got away from them. And that's the way it's gone in a number of recent Jets seasons. You know, you look at this roster just up and down. I think it's probably it's really lacking in talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball, which clearly impacts a rookie quarterback. You know, you want a stable infrastructure for a rookie because a rookie is going to have weeks where he looks very bad. And fortunately for the Jets, Sam Darnold started to play well the last 2 weeks, one of which resulted in a win, the other of which was a loss, a close loss to the Texans, a game where the Jets, you know, did put up a good fight. And Darnold, as I mentioned, did play well. But, you know, they just had stretches where nothing was really working on offense. The coaching staff has not really designed that great of a scheme, in my opinion. I think that they struggle. I think that they struggle to, you know, scheme guys open. And the defense has been very up and down. You have guys who are having disappointing years who the Jets have counted on. Jets were counting on to have good years heading into the year. Their big free agent signing was Trumaine Johnson at cornerback. He's been injury plagued. You know, he's been banged up. And when he's played, he's been very inconsistent. On the defensive line, you have Leonard Williams, who went to the Pro Bowl a couple of years ago, was supposed to be, you know, he's supposed to be the star of this defensive line. He's having a down year. They don't really have much off the edge. So there are no simple answers, but it's just a little bit of everything. And, you know, let me ask you the same thing about the Packers. I mean, how did things fall into these depths for the Packers?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question this offseason, right? I mean, there is something about a team that comes in with Super Bowl aspirations and falls apart that really makes you wonder, you know, what structurally and foundationally was wrong here? Because you look at the talent, you know, you mentioned the Jets. The talent is there for the Packers. They have supreme talent at quarterback, at receiver, at running back, at left tackle, for example, Corey Linsley, a Pro Bowl alternate at center. And so you say, why isn't this offense better? And there are myriad reasons. Injuries, I think, again, scheme. You mentioned that with the Jets. Same issues with the Packers in terms of being able to make things easy for your quarterback, scheming guys open. You know, not that Aaron Rodgers needs it in the same way that Sam Darnold does, but when you make your quarterback have to do everything, when he has to be Superman for your offense to work, and he's playing at 60, 70, 75%, not practicing all week as he did for a good solid month and a half of the beginning of the season, you're not able to create continuity with your receivers. And on defense, they've just been decimated by injuries. Kevin King was having a really promising start to his season and can't stay healthy. Bashaud Breeland gets signed off the street. He looks really good. He's been in and out of the lineup with injuries. You know, they're down to starting three rookies at corner. They traded HaHa Clinton Dix. That's been a positive move for them, but now they're without Mike Daniels. Kenny Clark just got put on IR. Nick Perry is out for the season. So you look around at this team and all of a sudden it's not the team that Brian Gutekunst put together to give to Mike McCarthy to go make a run at a Super Bowl. That's not the reason that Mike McCarthy got fired. I think there are a lot of reasons that Mike McCarthy got fired, not the least of which is that his team just lost confidence in his abilities to lead them. And I think more specifically, not just the leadership part, I think he is a very good leader, a very good CEO of your program, but it was the inability for him to advance in his offense, the same way that, say, Andy Reid has done in his, or in the way that Bill Belichick has insisted his offensive coaches do over the years, and basically just saying, we're going to have a different game plan every week. That's not something that Mike McCarthy has ever shown any kind of ability to do. And as a result, their season is over. They lose on the road to the Bears, where they'd won 8 straight games. And that's sort of a fitting metaphor for what's gone on with them this season. The way that I look at this game on Sunday is, who can they evaluate? Who can they determine is a part of the core of this team in much the same way that the Jets are doing? And say, look, is Jair Alexander as good as we think he is? Can Josh Jackson play better than he has played? Can Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown, these are a lot of rookies I'm mentioning, can they be contributors in this offense? And I think that's one of the reasons Rodgers wants to play. When you look at the Jets and a lost season for them, this was not about making the playoffs. This was about Sam Darnold and moving forward. What are they going to be looking for on Sunday in terms of positives that they can take away and say, okay, this is what I need to see in order to feel good about X, Y, and Z?
I think it's all about Darnold. You look at Saturday's game. They played Saturday last week against Houston. And I really kind of struggled to come away with many guys who played good games for the Jets. I think one of their receivers, Robbie Anderson, had a really nice day. He was showing some route running ability that I hadn't seen throughout his 3 years in the NFL. On the defensive side of the ball, one of their defensive linemen, Henry Anderson, had 3 sacks. But I looked up and down the roster. I wasn't sure that there were many guys who played that well. And Darnold was really the exception. He really played a fantastic game there. And they didn't have much working on offense. I thought they struggled in pass protection. He was constantly on the run, being flushed from the pocket. I didn't think, for the most part, outside of Anderson, the receivers were getting a ton of separation. So he was forced to make accurate throws on the run, and he was doing it. And I guess the point I'm getting at here is, even though Darnold was really one of the only things that was working for the Jets on Saturday against Houston, a lot of people came away from that game with a very good feeling about it, because it gives you hope for the future. Essentially, the hope for this franchise's immediate future is based on Sam Darnold developing into a franchise quarterback. And I think most people would acknowledge the Jets are going to have to do a better job in this offseason and in offseasons to come of surrounding him with a supporting cast. So I think really it ultimately comes down to Darnold, because even though the Jets lost that game on Saturday, most Jets fans came away very happy, very encouraged, just because the young quarterback played well. It was just a different feel to a couple weeks ago when Josh McCown, the veteran, the backup, who he was a good kind of mentor for Darnold. He was not a fact. It's just a very different feeling, I think, for this team, when Darnold's out there playing well. So I think that's really what Jets fans are looking at. Let me ask you, is Rodgers going to play in this game?
They're making it seem like he is, and he said he wants to play. DeShone Kizer was asked, have you heard that you're going to play? He said no. So right this minute, it doesn't seem like Aaron Rodgers is going to sit. Now, he did tweak a groin injury, or tweaked his groin, rather. He didn't have a groin injury that we know of before the Bears game. Tweaked that a little bit. He's still dealing with the knee. That is not all the way back. He's not 100%. So, I have said on the show, I don't think he should play, but it sounds like he's going to. It sounds like he wants to. And I don't think the risk is worth the reward here, just to win a road game, or for Rodgers just to say, well, I'm healthy, I'm playing. Remember, the Packers are 0-7 on the road this season, which is pretty incredible. But you look at the list of teams that they've played, and it is basically the who's who of people in the playoff race. I mean, they lost to the Seahawks, they lost to the Vikings, they lost to the Bears, they lost to Washington, who was leading the NFC East for a while until Alex Smith broke his leg. They lost to the Patriots. So the Rams, it's not like they've been losing to dog teams on the road. I get that they want to win this game because they don't want to go 0-8 on the road, and Rodgers doesn't want, you know, a terrible season sort of on his record, so to speak. But I don't understand why you would do that. I think the Packers could win the game with DeShone Kizer at quarterback. Not that the Jets are, you know, an absolute train wreck. They aren't. But I don't understand why you would put Rodgers in harm's way, especially against, if there is a thing that the Jets have done well, it's their defense. And I want to ask you about that because the Packers could be in the market when they're in the market for a new head coach, could be in the market for a new defensive coordinator as well. If Mike Pettine doesn't want to stay on for whoever the new head coach is, or the new head coach doesn't want Mike Pettine. Before he got the job in New York, Todd Bowles was one of the best defensive coordinators in football. It's why he got a head coaching job. One of my favorite coordinators, full stop, really, in football. Do you think he's going to want another head coaching job? Or do you think, you know, in the offseason, assuming, you know, things go the way that we think they will, that he'll be a defensive coordinator next year?
You know, I think based on the way things have gone in New York, it's tough for me to envision him immediately getting another head coaching job. You know, this is a guy who's only won 24 games in 4 years. Now, two games left to play, so maybe he can tack on one or two others. But the team's really struggled. You know, I think two of his 4 years, things have just totally fallen apart, both this year and back in 2016, where things just kind of snowballed on them and the season got away from them very early. I think there have been some coordinator hires that have not been great, especially on the offensive side of the ball. He's on his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. So, you know, I look at Todd Bowles, and guy who was very well respected in the league. I think a lot of it has to do with his work as an assistant. I think he's a guy who's probably a good coordinator. At this point, I'm not sure he's a head coach. I think if he's going to be a head coach, he's going to have to take a step back down and kind of earn a second chance, because I just don't think it's gone that well enough for him to immediately get another head coaching job. Now, you know, I know we're talking about this game, but I'm actually interested from a Packers perspective, because Bowles is, we've talked at the top of the show how Bowles is still with the Jets, whereas the Packers made a coaching change, but Bowles is going to be fired after the season. And one of the names who keeps popping up is Mike McCarthy. Now, you talked a little bit about him earlier, but if you're a team like the Jets that's very much starting from scratch, do you think McCarthy would be a guy they should be interested in?
You know, that's interesting. I haven't really thought about it that much. I think there's been a lot of smoke when it comes to Mike McCarthy and a potential marriage in Cleveland. I think that makes a lot of sense to me, but for all the same reasons it makes sense in Cleveland, I think you could make the case it makes sense in New York. Now, Mike McCarthy, you go back before they changed the CBA in the early 2010s, Mike McCarthy's quarterback school was stuff of legend in the NFL, and what he was able to do and what he was able to drill and the progress he was able to make with Aaron Rodgers and Matt Flynn and, you know, the quarterbacks that would come through there. I think that if you gave him the opportunity to work with Sam Darnold, and Darnold does a lot of the things well that you need to do well in a Mike McCarthy offense, he's got a little bit of that gunslinger in him, something that Mike McCarthy has dealt with, you know, basically with both of his star quarterbacks. Remember, he coached late career Favre as well, and set Favre's career back on track. He was wandering in the wilderness before Mike McCarthy showed up and righted the ship for him. I like the idea of saying, okay, we tried this defensive coach who couldn't get the offense going, and the defenses have been good. And it's been a solid defense this year, and high picks have been used on defense. And I think, you know, there are some solid pieces on that side of the ball. But the team is so bereft of talent that I think when you talk about a guy who's going to rebuild your organization and rebuild your program, I think Mike McCarthy is a great guy. As I mentioned earlier, as a CEO of your program, someone who's going to set the tone, who's going to set your culture, who's going to say, this is what is acceptable and unacceptable in this organization, and this is who we're going to be, you draft guys into that, and you can enculturate them to play that way, to play for him. This is a Super Bowl winning coach and a guy who all he did in Green Bay was go to the playoffs. Does he have some shortcomings? Sure. Do I think he's smart enough and works hard enough to make some changes, to understand that this was a wake-up call for him? I do. I think he can have a second act similar to what Andy Reid did. It just needs to be in the right situation. And I think in a place like New York, where, you know, he's used to answering questions in Green Bay, that market, that's the only game in town. It's not New York media, but he's used to being under a lot of scrutiny. He's used to doing the shows and getting stopped in the supermarket. Again, it's not the same level of scrutiny, but it is the same intensity level when it comes to a fan base living and dying by the wins and the losses of the team. It's not my favorite fit for McCarthy, but if you're talking about the Jets and wanting to reset your culture and your program, listen, I think it makes a ton of sense. He would be the best coach they've had since Rex Ryan was good, probably, right? I mean, I think that the Rex Ryan years were really fun, and Jets fans would gladly take, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they would gladly take 10-6 and a playoff run in a year or two with Mike McCarthy, even with some of the warts that he has.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that hasn't been to the playoffs since those Rex Ryan days, so I certainly think that, you know, I think it would be a major step forward. I think you're right about that.
Do you think when you look at the offseason and the coaching search for the Jets, do you think there is some overlap in terms of the guys that the Jets are going to be chasing and Green Bay is going to be chasing? I mean, I don't think either of us would say that the jobs are the same in terms of the desirability level. But who are you looking for this offseason? And maybe if they're different, who do you think the Jets are going to be looking for?
Well, you know, I think that in some ways that the two teams, what they're searching for, are not that dissimilar, because even though they're at very different points of their career, I think both teams are looking to maximize what they're getting out of their quarterback. Seems to me, as an outsider, that, you know, the Packers search is very much about, you know, matching Aaron Rodgers with the right guy who can really, you know, take the team to the next level, whereas the Jets are looking for a guy who's going to develop Darnold. So my hunch is that the Jets are going to look more on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I'm going to give you a fact right here. Is Woody Johnson bought the Jets in 2000, 2001. Since then, he's made four coaching hires. His first hire was Herm Edwards, who was a defensive assistant with no head coaching experience. After Herm Edwards, it was Eric Mangini, a defensive assistant with no head coaching experience. Then it was Rex Ryan, a defensive assistant with no head coaching experience. Then it was Todd Bowles, a defensive assistant with no head coaching experience. And I mean, they've had some measure of success under those guys. They've all four of them had winning seasons. All of them except Bowles had trips to the playoffs. But ultimately, none of them was the right fit long term. So I think at some point the Jets are going to look for an offensive mind. I think the focus for this team is very much based around just developing Sam Darnold. I think anybody who is going to be a serious player for this job is going to have to sell a vision for how they're going to get the most out of Sam Darnold. I think, you know, it's a recurring theme. You're probably noticing that the Jets as a franchise right now are tied up with Sam Darnold. Now let me ask you, what are the Packers going to be looking for in a coach?
Well, I think a lot of it, it depends who you ask. If you ask me, which you did, I think what they have to do is they have to push this offense forward and find the right guy to shepherd this offense with Aaron Rodgers on the back nine of his career. And I don't think he's by any means, you know, getting to 17 or 18 on that back nine. I think he's more like, you know, maybe playing the 12th. He's on the 12th tee or something like that, maybe the 13th. But they need to find someone who is going to stimulate him, who's going to challenge him, who's going to get him re-engaged in what's going on and get him confident in the plan each week, because that was the issue with McCarthy. It seems easy. if you're Aaron Rodgers, to look at what's going on with teams. You know, you watch a game that's 54-51 and think, well, I'm better than those quarterbacks, and my supporting cast is just as good as those quarterbacks. So why aren't we playing like that? Why can the Saints, who have a really good receiver and a really good running back, and then bartenders and insurance salesmen at the skill positions, why is their offense so much more productive than our offense is? And, you know, I think he takes that personally, that he can't elevate his team. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's frustrated. It's one of the reasons why he's tried to take more shots down the field. So when you're building the profile of the kind of coach that can come in and really right the ship here, I think you're looking at guys like Josh McDaniels, someone that Jets fans is going to be, you know, very familiar with. I think you're looking at Lincoln Riley. I think you're looking at Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City. I think those would be the top three guys. No one after that really does it for me, because the defensive assistant that is going to come in, let's say it's Vic Fangio. Now you need to hire that superstar offensive coordinator. Let's say you can pry Zach Taylor away from the Rams, or you can pry Cliff Kingsbury away from USC. Jay Glazer reporting there are still NFL teams that are wondering if they might be able to buy out Kingsbury and USC without him ever coaching a game. The problem is, if that goes well and you have Aaron Rodgers, he's already had two offensive coordinators or two coaches on his staff become head coaches because of the play that he has had in Green Bay. So let's say you bring in Zach Taylor or Cliff Kingsbury. In 2 years, if the offense is really good, they're going to get a head coaching job. And now you're back to square one. Rodgers is 37, 38, and you got to bring in a new offense. So I think the Packers have to go offense with their head coach, just from a continuity standpoint. And they should feel like they're the number one job on the market, because they are. So I think they're going to have their pick. I think if all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted, and the two teams had their way, I think the guy who is not only most likely to get the job, but is the best fit for the job, is Josh McDaniels. And that's who I think the Packers will pursue in earnest. But I also think Lincoln Riley is legitimately in play here. If he's looking to make an NFL move, I can imagine it being to a team like Green Bay, a prestige franchise, to work with Aaron Rodgers, the kind of ferocious college-like fan base that he got at OU. I think it makes a ton of sense for him. But that being said, I think the Jets should absolutely be calling his agent to say, you know, listen, we got Sam Darnold. We've got the biggest media market in the country. All eyes on you. You can be a superstar head coach in New York.
You know, I'm actually not as high on Riley as a lot of people. My concerns are just, I mean, he's only been a head coach for 2 years. He's put up a lot of great offenses, but it's also the Big 12. I'm not saying I wouldn't say no outright, but I think he has a lot more question marks, you know, and I know you could go crazy over one game. You probably shouldn't overestimate one game, but the way that Rose Bowl went last year kind of bugged me. I thought Kirby Smart made some schematic adjustments in the second half with Georgia that he didn't really have any answers for. So and a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this. I'm not quite as sold on Riley as a lot of people are.
You know, that's fine. It also took Roquan Smith for Georgia just going absolutely out of his mind defensively in the second half. But I think that your point is well taken. It's a risk. I wrote about this for SB Nation a couple weeks ago. Moving on from Mike McCarthy, even if it was the right thing, was a risk. And any coach they hire is going to be a risk. I think the least amount of risk, with maybe the second most upside, I think Lincoln Riley is the upside choice. If you want to take a big swing, that's the guy you hire. But if you want to take the guy that I think has the highest floor mixed with a pretty high ceiling, that's why I think Josh McDaniels is the guy that you're looking for there.
I agree with you. I think that's a pick that makes a lot of sense for the Packers. And, you know, it bugged me what happened with the Colts last year, but I always thought he played it really smart, because this is a guy who probably like 4 years ago could have been a head coach if he wanted to, but he's a guy who really kind of assessed what went wrong in Denver and was really kind of looking for the right fit. It seems like to me like he's really grown a lot. So I think he'd be very successful with the Packers.
Yeah, and that's the big question, right? Has what happened in Denver, has he reckoned with that and learned from that? And it seems like, by all accounts, he has. I don't think the Colts backing out on the Colts at the last minute is an indication that you know, he hasn't learned his lesson. I think those are totally separate things. I know it rubbed a lot of people, the Green Bay fans, the wrong way. I see it in my Twitter mentions every day. But I it doesn't worry me the way that I think it worries a lot of fans. And I don't know that it's going to worry the Packers organization. Mark Murphy, and this is an underrated thing that I haven't seen mentioned a lot. Mark Murphy is making the decisions in Green Bay. And he spent a lot of time working with Robert Kraft and the Patriots organization to craft a plan around building a sort of real estate and housing development around Lambeau based on what they did at Gillette Stadium. The Packers and the Patriots have a long history of trading draft picks, of going after the same players, of when the Packers release somebody, the Patriots sign them. There is a lot of respect between these two organizations. And I think it is the kind of thing where they have a lot more inside information than most teams would have. And I think they have each other's respect in a way that not every organization would have. And so I think that gives Green Bay, you know, a better chance and also more information to make an informed decision. So that's something that I think we should be watching for. Because the outcome of this game is not particularly important or fascinating to either of us in terms of the teams that we cover here, I want to ask you, when you're putting together your wish list for the offseason, whether it's draft picks, whether it's free agents, what are you prioritizing? Who are you going after? What is the move here for the Jets to get back to being even just respectable?
Well, I think the first place they have to look is the offensive line. The thing that's the frightening parallel in my mind with Sam Darnold, because I really do like Sam Darnold and I think he has a ton of potential, is I don't want the Jets to turn this into a situation like the Colts had with Andrew Luck, where they did not build a proper offensive line around him and got him hit and got him hurt. You know, he cost him an entire season last year before they finally started making some investments to protect him. So I think the offensive line is the first place to look, because this is a weak offensive line. It's not as bad as the offensive line across town with the Giants, but it's a unit that really has struggled quite a bit this year. They made a move in the offseason to sign Spencer Long to play center. That was their weak position a year ago, and it really has done nothing to solidify the spot. You look at left tackle, Kelvin Beachum is okay, but he's really a stopgap. This is year two of that stopgap. They need to find a long-term solution. The other spot that I think is a big priority spot is edge rusher. The Jets just have not had a consistent edge rusher since they traded John Abraham to Atlanta, and that was in 2006. So you look at the top of the draft, you know, there are going to be some options there. The question is, can the Jets get high enough to get Nick Bosa? I think that's a guy who might be a natural fit for them if they end up with a high enough pick, which probably would require them losing this game and next week against New England and getting a bit of help. So I think those are the two spots I'm looking at, are our offensive line and edge rusher. And so what do you think the personnel wise the Packers are looking to do with this offseason?
I think there are three key spots for Green Bay. It is safety, right guard, and edge rusher. And every team could use more edge rushers. I think Mike Patton has shown a great ability to scheme pressure Green Bay consistently among the top teams in pressure rate all season. But it's been almost all blitzes. And against the Bears, they played a lot more coverage, didn't bring as much pressure, and Mitch Trubisky beat them with it. And you need that kind of singular talent, I think, to be a really good defense. Clay Matthews was that guy in his prime. Mike Daniels is a notch below that. I think he's in that sort of Leonard Williams range where he's very good, but not yet truly great, and may never get there. And I think Kenny Clark is close to being there. He's never going to be Aaron Donald or Geno Atkins, but he's an extremely, extremely productive interior player. I thought it was a joke that he was not on the Pro Bowl starters list, but fans don't know interior line play very well. And then, you know, you look at what they can do this offseason. I think signing a safety, potentially signing a veteran guard, and then targeting edge rusher in a draft class full of edge rushers is the way to move this team forward. But there are also big splashes out there. If the Texans decide they don't want to pay Jadeveon Clowney, that's a name that I think could be on the Packers' radar. Brandon Graham for the Eagles is going to need a new contract, and I'm not sure that Philadelphia is going to be able to pay it. So I think that's going to be, when you look at, you know, competing for head coaches, I don't think the Packers and Jets are going to be competing for head coaches, but they may very well be competing for free agents when it comes to solidifying that offensive line and bringing in edge rushers. So, you know, there is that similarity. I think a lot of teams right now are not happy with their offensive line and not happy with their pass rush. So, you know, the Jets have a lot more cap space than the Packers do to get those guys. I expect the Jets are much more likely to make that big splash than Green Bay is.
So you're impressed with, are you impressed with the job Mike Pettine's done? That's a name very familiar to Jets fans. He was the defensive coordinator of Rex Ryan's first 4 years with the Jets. And I always thought they missed him after he left. I always thought he was a very solid coach.
Packer fans want him back. They would love for, you know, whichever offensive coach Green Bay decides to hire, if they would keep Mike Pettine, because I think there's value in continuity and there's value in having a really smart coach. I think there are very few truly good, never mind great, defensive coordinators. And frankly, defensive coordinators rarely get the credit they deserve. It's not as sexy as the point scoring on offense. But Mike Pettine is one of the best 5 or 8 defensive coordinators in football. When you have one of those guys, I think you should try and keep him. And so I have been very impressed as someone who has watched Dom Capers telegraph his blitzes and not be able to create any pressure despite bringing 7, 8 guys. You know, it is pretty incredible to watch what Mike Pettine has done over the course of this season. We do have a game on Sunday. We don't know who the quarterback for Green Bay is. That's why the odds makers are struggling so much with this. It's either Packers plus 2.5 or minus 2.5, depending on where you look. How do you see this game going?
I actually think it depends on which quarterback plays. I think if Rodgers plays, Jets are going to have a tough time winning this game. I mean, I'm a big Sam Darnold fan, but I'm not sure he's matching touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers. But I'll tell you, if Kaiser plays, there's a game last year in my head where the Browns were 0-16. The Jets went out to Cleveland, and to be honest with you, the Browns were the better team in that game. I think they outgained the Jets by like 200 yards, and the difference was just Kaiser was so bad in that game. He killed the Browns. I mean, turnovers in the red zone, ugly turnovers in the red zone. So, I mean, maybe that's sticking in my mind too much, but I think if Kaiser plays, the Jets are going to win this game. I think if Rodgers plays, the Packers win.
Yeah, I think if Rodgers plays, the Packers win. I think if Kaiser plays, it'll be a horribly ugly game, and it'll come down to which quarterback makes fewer mistakes. And I'm not sure who I would put my money on. That is a race to the bottom with these two guys right now, given the roller coaster season that Sam Darnold has had. But it'll be interesting to see. My family's coming into town, and we're going to the game, so hopefully it's just not a bad game.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for late in the year. On the Jets side, we have a lot of experience in these games, these Week 16 games where neither team's going to the playoffs. It's a little different, probably a new experience for you guys on the Packers side.
Yeah, it is a much different experience, and I would guess neither fan base likes it.
Absolutely.
That's all for this Crossover Wednesday show. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.